As you're returning to your seats, you may be seated. Do want to take some special needs to the Lord in prayer. Sister Darlene Grimm had surgery on her eye just a few hours ago. I did post on our church Facebook page. She is out of surgery, doing well. Matter of fact, I believe they're home now. From what I understand, they had to go in. She had the lens in her eye was that they had put in some time ago, had become infected with a bacteria. And so they had to go in and remove that lens. They have to wait another 6 weeks and then I think go back in and try another procedure. So I know that she would cover your prayers. And I know that she's probably dealing with some pain and discomfort right now. And so she did ask that we would go to the Lord in prayer on her behalf, which we will certainly do. Many of you know the Umbers family. Not too many months ago, L.V. Umbers passed away. Sister Faith Umbers, I believe, is now with family down in the Mississippi area. But her son, Jim Umbers, is here in the area. It's my understanding that he is in the hospital and having some very serious health concerns. I don't know to what extent that they are. I'm hearing that they're doing surgery. I don't know exactly what the surgery is or what the diagnosis is of his situation, but according to the family, it's very serious. So let's pray that God would intervene in that situation and help the Umbers family. Anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to make known? Church, Brother Bill. Unspoken prayer request, certainly. Sister D. All right, certainly. Anybody else on my right? Brother White? Certainly. I remember Brother White's sister passing him. Husband not too long ago dealing with a lot of circumstances there, certainly. Sister Swain? Certainly. Gary. All right. And this is your cousin. Only cousin. All right. Let's remember Gary in prayer. Sister Christy. Kim Nesbeth is? Okay. All right. Certainly. Let's continue to remember Dwayne Lewis, the friend of our family, battling the brain cancer there. I know we've talked about him numerous times, but it never hurts to bring him before the Lord again. And so let's remember him in prayer as well. Why don't you stand to your feet? Why don't we go to the Lord right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, to magnify you, lift you up, praise your precious name. Lord, we bring these needs, these names before you, believing and trusting in your power to work and to move, to help, to strengthen, Lord. Lord, we ask you, God, for those who need a healing in their body, God, we ask that you would work, God, that your healing power be made manifest unto them, God, through a minister, through someone, God, to stretch forth their hands and heal in your name and your authority, God. We lift up Sister Darlene Grimm before you, God. Oh, it's been before you numerous times, God, on her behalf. Lord, we pray once again, God, you would help her, God, ease the pain and discomfort of the procedure today. God, give the doctors wisdom in dealing with her. Ultimately, we know that you are the creator of the body, God, and you are able to heal, God, to raise up, God, to renew, to strengthen, Lord. We thank you that we can come to you, God, for those dealing with family members with terminal illness, God. We know that you're a comfort, you're a help. Ultimately, you can heal and to help, God. But, Lord, we pray most importantly for the salvation of the souls, God, that they would come to understanding of their need of you. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor that we can beseech your throne, God, in our time of need. We love you, Jesus. How wonderful you are, God. You are great and greatly to be praised. In Jesus' precious name we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it to be done. Everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to encourage you to continue to sign up. I realize that I had quite a few that have signed up already for different things that are going on our Hallelujah Eve. But we also need some creative minds in the sense of doing what we're planning to do. And let me say this. I was thinking the other day as I was mowing the lawn, which I do when I mow the lawn, I think. And I was thinking, you know what? We talk about creativity, and people are talking about, well, you got to be creative and but you know what? We serve the most creative God. Talking about creative, talking about one that can create, really. I mean, when we have a need, a situation, or even we need help, Lord, I need help to be creative and reaching someone. I need to be helped to be creative in teaching this or getting this thought across. Guess what? I believe that God, who is the creator, can help you and can open our hearts and minds to be creative in that sense. So that's a little plug in there for helping us out in the creative area of what we're doing on Hallelujah Eve. One way that you can help is that each family we're asking to bring a bag of individually wrapped candy. That way we have enough candy to give out for all of those who are coming. Obviously, we'll do the soup like we do have done in times past, but that is up and coming, and so we just want to remind you of that. We are continuing tonight in our study, and this may be the final study on this particular subject for this period of time. I don't know. I kind of feel like it's winding up, and maybe this is the culmination tonight, if you will. But we've talked about the need for Nehemiahs. Initially, when we launched out into this study, we talked about the man Nehemiah himself, his commission, what he felt led of God to do and come back to the city of Jerusalem, rebuild the walls and the gates. We talked about his name, what it meant, the Comforted of Yah, how he represents the Holy Ghost. We talked about the opposition. We talked about those individuals that came against him and what they represented, Tobiah and Geshem, and Sanballat, there we go. I almost missed it. You almost got me. And so we talked about what they represented in the sense of the flesh and the devil and the world, and how that the world does not, the devil does not, your flesh does not want you and I constructing walls and gates in our lives that identify the kingdom of God. And then we launched out into a study about the particular gates, what they represented, how they represent the spiritual progression, how that they are much like the gospel and circular, and that you experience them throughout your walk in relationship with God. It is as if you are journeying around the city of Jerusalem. You are entering in the gates. You're experiencing those gates and how they apply to the walk in relationship with God in a Christian walk. And so tonight we're going to end up with the last four gates. We've already talked about the sheep gate, the fish gate, the old gate. We spent one evening talking about the broad wall, a particular wall that was mentioned there in the construction. Last week we dealt with the valley gate, we dealt with the dung gate, and we dealt with the fountain gate. And concluding with the fountain gate, we talked about how that the fountain gate, though it is called a fountain gate, there is no fountain there. There is a pool of water which finds its source at a fountain, but the fountain is some 1,750 feet away. We talked about how that the fountain was subterranean. It was not seen. You could see the evidence in the pool, but the fountain itself was subterranean, and it actually flows under the city of Jerusalem, if you know the area and how it flows. And so we talked about how that the fountain gate represented the power of the Holy Ghost. We talked about how that Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." We talked about how that once we experience these things, when we conclude tonight, we're just going to kind of take a little trip, if you will, around the city, addressing those individual gates and how they apply in our lives, just kind of as a reminder, kind of letting us know why we ventured out into this study and why this study, even though it talks about things that happened a long, long time ago, they still apply to us today. And when we desire to construct the kingdom of God in our own lives, if you will, then there are things we must do. And the pattern, if you will, the progression of the construction of these gates, we can apply in our own lives. So we're going to start tonight with the water gate. Now, think about it in the sense of we ended with the fountain gate and now you're to the water gate. And you say, well, it seems like they're kind of the same. There was a pool of water at the fountain gate. Now you're talking about the water gate. So what is the significance of this place called the water gate? Well, it's found in Nehemiah 3:26. Moreover, the Nethinims dwelled in Ophel under the place over against the water gate towards the east and the tower that lieth out. You do a little study, you'll find out that this gate was used to bring water into the temple for cleansing. This was a gate that these individuals, the Nethinims, I guess is how you would say it, which were actually servants. The name actually literally translates into temple servants. And these individuals were commissioned with bringing water in and out of the temple that was used for cleansing. And so they are temple servants. They're serving in the ministry. They're serving in doing their particular job, their particular responsibility, if you will. But when you think about it in this sense, when someone is received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their life, that fountain begins flowing in their life, there has to be an outlet. There has to be something which allows that. We don't get full of the Holy Ghost just to be full ourselves. We become full of the Holy Ghost so that we overflow and minister to other people and we serve other people. And so the water gate, if you will, the Nethinims were temple servants. They carried water to and from the temple through the gate. So this gate represents service in the work of the ministry. I believe that everybody who is born again is called into ministry. Now, you may not agree with that, but I believe everybody who is born again is called into the ministry. You are called to serve. You are called not to just get full of the Holy Ghost in and of yourself, but you are called to allow that power of God, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. In other words, with the power of God in our life, it should be overflowing, and its spillover should be affecting others around about us. And part of that spillover, part of that being full of the Holy Ghost is allowing the power of God to empower us to serve other people. Much as these individuals were in the service of the ministry, they were in the service of cleansing. They were in the or bringing water that was for cleansing. And we can understand that when you serve, there are few things more spiritually refreshing than serving. Then really understanding that I'm just not going through the motions. I'm just not doing a tradition. I'm not going through a ritualistic thing here. I'm actually serving. I'm actually doing ministry. It is fulfilling when you and I get involved in the ministry. And let me say this. It's going to help perpetuate the process. God never intended for us to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and keep it all to ourselves. God never intended. I know it's not the kind of teaching we kind of like because it puts some responsibility on all shoulders. Just as there was responsibility for them to carry the water to and from the temple. Because if they did not bring the water to and from the temple for cleansing, the service of the ministry could not go forward. And we need to understand, it doesn't matter how menial the task may seem. If it's in the cause of the kingdom of God and for the kingdom of God, Jesus said, listen, you don't even give a cup of water in a prophet's name that I don't recognize and I don't understand it. And so we need to value service. And when someone receives a baptism of the Holy, that fountain of the Holy Ghost in their life, that river of God in their life needs to flow over and cause them to serve other people, cause them to be used in ministry. The flow from the fountain is to minister and serve others. The fountain is there. The fountain is giving us the life source. It's enabling us to remain and do what God has called us to do. And what God has called us to do, go ye therefore into all the world, teach all nations. I'm to instruct, not just in my lifestyle. I'm to instruct in the way I handle situations. I'm to instruct in the way that I talk about things. My life is an epistle, the Bible says, seen and read of all men, that I live a life that is showing forth that I have a fountain, that there is something different in me. Not just how I look, but there is something different in me. There is a joy. There is a happiness. There is an optimism. We as Christians should be the most optimistic people on the face of the earth. You say, well, you got all this stuff going on. And I understand that. But the reality is if I understand that all these things have to be, because the Lord's coming back, then there should be an optimism in me that says, I'm looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing, that I'm expecting, I'm ready to go. And not only do I want to be ready to go, but I want to help others get ready. I want to serve others. I want to go in and out the water gate where I'm serving other people in the work of the ministry, and they see in my life, let your light shall shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so that should be it's a call to service. And when someone receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their life, one of the main fruits and signs of someone receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a pardon and separate, if you will, but of the same spirit of speaking in other tongues, is that opportunity and that willingness and that desire to start serving. What can I do? How can I help? What's an area that I can serve in, that I can do? And I know we talked about it many times, but folks, we there's got to be a love for serving in the kingdom of God. It can't just be, well, this is my responsibility, this is my job, I do it because it's expected of me. There has got somewhere in the fountain of the power of the Holy Ghost, and that's where the source is going to be, is in the power of the Holy Ghost. You have to find joy in serving. You have to find the joy in serving. God filled us with His Spirit to serve as witnesses of His power. We have the fountain, and the fountain flowing inside of us and out of us is to reveal unto others the great power of Almighty God, helping us reach other people. And then you have the horse gate. A horse gate is kind of, think about the horse. The horse was not, during these times, especially when it comes to Jerusalem, the horse was not an animal that was plenteous. It was there. They had them normally. It was royalty that rode on the horses. Sometimes there were chariots that they had, but when it comes to Jerusalem and when it comes to God's people, you don't find them many times upon a horse. Don't. They were footmen, the Bible says. And so while other armies and other nations and other people were active in the use of cavalry in the sense of horses, the Jews were not. And so you have this place called the Horse Gate. You do a little study, you will find that here at the Horse Gate, there are stables. And the reason why this is, when people would come to the city on horseback, they would stop at this gate, and there they would put the horse into the stable, into a stall, and then enter into the city. Historians and theologians would state that it wasn't even permissible for horses to enter into the city. Other animals were allowed, but horses were not. And when you do a little study on the horse, you will find that throughout the Bible, the horse, especially in the book of Revelation, the horse is symbolic of war. The horse, if you will, is symbolic of warfare. And this is what I believe in the sense of the gates, in the sense of how they parallel in our lives. When God baptizes, when we have the fountain of the Holy Ghost in our life, not only does it compel us to serve and work in ministry, but it also, as we work in ministry, guess what? We do not do so without contest. We do not do so without the enemy saying, oh, okay, you're going to serve? You're going to start working for the kingdom? You're going to start doing some things for God? Well, I'm not just going to let you do it. There's going to be some combat that happens as a result of it. And so, if you will, here's where it's found. From above the horse gate repaired the priest, everyone over against his house. This gate was named for the horse stables located there. Throughout the Bible, the horse is used as a symbol of war. This gate represents spiritual warfare. When someone begins serving God in ministry, the enemy does not just let them serve uncontested. When an individual decides, and through the power of the Holy Ghost, they say, you know what? I'm going to serve. Sometimes it's just getting somebody water. Sometimes it's just usherings. And I'm not demeaning those things. And then teaching or assisting in Sunday school or helping. But any time that someone begins to venture out and begins to allow the Holy Ghost to compel them to start serving, the moment that takes place, the enemy takes notice. And spiritual warfare ensues. Bible says, for you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When we sign on, if you will, when we decide I'm in the Lord's army, when we decide I'm fighting for the side of good, evil does not let us progress uncontested. Evil will come against us. The devil, our flesh, this world, its system is against us building the walls and the gates. It's against us serving. It's against us evangelizing. It's against us spreading the kingdom of God. It does not want for us to be ambassadors of Christ. It does not want us to go and be emissaries of the kingdom of God. It will contest us. There is spiritual warfare. And might I say this, if we are not engaged in spiritual warfare, it is simply because we pose no threat to the enemy. There's a point of revelation for you. I should be, and I should understand. Now, a lot of times we have to be careful because we look at things from a fleshly nature when the reality is it's a spiritual thing that is happening. Somebody trespasses against us or something happens in our life and we look at it from a natural carnal standpoint. In reality, sometimes it's a spiritual thing. Sometimes it's war against my soul. There's temptations. There's the fiery darts of the wicked. There are things that when we engage and when we decide that we're going to be a part of the kingdom of God, we are immediately saying we will contest and we will fight evil. And evil will not let us progress uncontested. It will fight against us. Look at this, and I know I reference this verse of scriptures many times in this study, but it's a very familiar passage of scripture, but look at it, it's in 1 Peter 2 and 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. I'm making a statement in my lifestyle. I'm making a statement in the path that I am choosing to take now. I am a child of God. People of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which, what? War against the soul. Part of the warfare that we engage in is abstaining from our own desires. Part of the warfare that we engage in, and guess what? We are going to get tempted. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Your temptation may not be my temptation. What you struggle with may not be what I struggle with, but I guarantee you this, if we are engaged in spiritual warfare, there will be struggles. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you ought. There is that struggle in our lives when we decide, I'm going to allow the fountain of God to flow in my life, and I'm going to serve, and I'm going to be active in ministry, and I'm going to reach out unto people. When we do that, spiritual warfare ensues. Now, I'm going to be real. That's why some people are okay with just going through the motions. I'll just kick back till Jesus comes. I'll just go through my routine, and there's something to be said for faithfulness, don't get me wrong. But the reality is, if I'm truly progressing in the things of God, and I'm truly desiring to go forth in the things of God, I'm serving and I'm warring. I'm serving in ministry and I'm fighting in spirit. I am struggling. There is a struggle. There are things, and guess what? Worldly lust, war against the soul. Worldly lust, war against the soul. Let me ask you this. If God knows what we have need of before we ask or even think it, think about that on the side of good. If God knows what we have need of, I would think the other side knows what we want. And so the other side likes to present those desires, those temptations, those longings. And unless you and I, through the power of the Holy Ghost, are equipped to fight, to put on the whole armor of God,
to take those things which God has equipped us with as a good soldier of Jesus Christ and to fight and to war against those temptations and those wants and those desires and those worldly lusts. When someone, that's why it's not for the faint of heart. It's not for the weak. It's for those that understand their strength comes through the Spirit of God, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It is only through the power of the Holy Ghost that you and I are able to serve in ministry and war against the enemy. But we do so. For after the water gate where we serve comes the horse gate where we war. Spiritual warfare. And it's in these times where we visit those other gates, if you will, where we go to the old gate and we understand that prayer works. We war by evangelizing the individuals that we come in contact with. We do our best to be a witness unto them, and the enemy will fight against us. But if we want to progress and we want to see the example in our lives that is set forth in the Scripture, we allow the power of the Holy Ghost to enable us, to equip us, to empower us, to serve, and to war. Because the next gate is this. The next gate is the east gate. Scripture, Nehemiah 3:29, and after them repaired Zadok, the son of Immer, over against his house. After him repaired Shemaiah, the son of, the keeper of the east gate. Here's the east gate. The water gate, where you serve. The horse gate, where you war. And now here's the east gate. This gate is on the east side, at the descent of the Mount of Olives. This is the gate by which Jesus entered the city on the donkey. Palm Sunday, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This is the east gate. This is the gate that also is termed as the gold gate, also termed as the Messiah's gate. This is also a gate that Ezekiel prophesied about in Ezekiel 44. Ezekiel prophesies that this gate is going to be sealed up. This gate is going to be sealed. Now, it's not over 2,000 years later that this gate becomes sealed. Do you know that if you went over to Jerusalem right now, this gate would be sealed up? It was sealed up by the Ottoman Empire, 1530 AD. Sealed the gate. But it's also the gate, prophetically, where Jesus in his second coming comes. For he comes to the Mount of Olives, and the Bible says he enters into the city the same way. So it is by this east gate. There are some that believe that prophetically that there will be a tear down of this area, and this gate will become unsealed before the coming of the Lord. I say, well, that's okay then. It's still sealed up. I'm good. Woo! Bible also talks about the Mount of Olives being split in two. An earthquake. Could it be the same earthquake opens that gap in the wall, unseals that area that's right there? It's at the descent of the Mount of Olives. Could be. But what the East Gate represents prophetically, not only does it talk about the coming of the Lord in his initial coming as the Messiah, as God manifests in the flesh, as he entered into the city on the donkey, but it also refers to his second coming. This is also known as Messiah's Gate and represents the second coming of the Lord. Just as they were encouraged to look for the coming of the Messiah in the Old Testament, we are encouraged to look for the second coming of Christ. Catch this. The power of the Holy Ghost in my life. The water gate where I'm serving and the horse gate where I'm warring. It's in expectation and understanding that I fight this good fight of faith and I serve because guess what? Jesus is coming soon. I do what I do. I live how I live. I serve others and I war in the Spirit because I recognize while the world doesn't care, the world is not attuned, the world is not looking for it, I am looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am looking for that day when he will come and he will once again rule and reign because guess what? I want to be a part of the bride that goes with him. I want to be a part of those. The ecclesia, the church, the called out ones. And so I'm looking for it. There's expectation in my heart, in my life, Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, I'm warring. Teaching, I'm serving, it's teaching me, I'm warring. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm looking at it. There's expectation in my heart and in my life that Jesus is coming soon. And as you look around and you see the world and the situation, it becomes even more apparent. Man, seems like we're headed there awful fast. Seems like a lot is happening. It wouldn't surprise me. I'm looking for, there's expectation. In the heart of a believer, someone who allows the power of God to work in their life, there is that empowering to serve and to war, but there's also that expectation. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. There's an expectation that just over in the glory land, that's where I long to be. That's where my heart is. That's why I'm not staking claim here in this life. That's why I'm not driving stakes deep here. This world has nothing for me. I'm looking for that day. I'm looking for that moment. I'm listening for the sound of the trumpet. So I'm called to my home. Because then there's the inspection gate. Nehemiah 3:31, after him, prepared Micaiah, the goldsmith's son, in the place of the Nethinims and of the merchants over against the gate, Mifkad. And to the going up of the corner. Do a little study of that word, Mifkad, and you will find out it literally means a census to appoint, to designate, inspection. Inspection gate. This gate represents judgment, not just eternally, but judgment while we work in war here on the earth. You see, even now in my walking relationship with God, even now while we serve and we war in the Spirit, even now we come to the house of God. We come before God. We come into the presence of God and we allow judgment to take place. We allow inspection to take. We examine ourselves. We look into the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and we examine those areas that need to be repaired because we are broken. We examine those areas of our life that I need help here. And let the inspection, let the Spirit inspect me. Let me come before God and find those areas of inferiority which I need to allow Him to work on in my life. Because while even now, look at 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. See, that's one of the reasons why I need to be faithful to the house of God, because here the power and presence of God inspects me, and not in a condemning way. In a loving, convicting way, it says, He's coming soon. He's coming, and He's coming for a bride that has made herself ready. He's coming. He's coming. Keep serving, keep warring, but also let the power and presence of God find those areas of your life that need to be brought up to par. Find those areas of your life that you need to work on, that God needs to help you repair and fix. So what shall the end? If it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. I commit myself to God, and I'm not weary and well doing. I keep serving. I keep warring. I keep struggling. I keep fighting this good fight of faith. I keep pressing toward the mark. I keep going through the process. Yes, there's valleys and yes, there's fountains, and yes, there's waste where I got to get rid of stuff, and there's a sacrifice that has to be made, and there's evangelism that must go forth, and there's returning to the old paths and praying and reading my Bible and doing all those things that this city represents in the sense of spiritual progression and walk with God. Why? Because 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're all going to stand at the inspection gate. We're all going to stand before God. We're all going to stand before Him and be judged according. I'm sorry, for people who say it doesn't matter what you do, then you have to throw out this verse of Scripture and numerous others like it that say works do matter. What I do, how I live, it does matter. How I serve, how I war, do I fight a good fight? Yes, it does matter. All these things matter because there is coming a time. So once He splits the eastern sky and He comes back, there's going to be a time that I and you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and will receive in accordance with what I've done in my body, whether it be good or bad. Last four gates. We serve in ministry. That's the water gate. And war in spirit, that's the horse gate. Because we know Jesus is coming soon, that's the east gate. And we judge ourselves now at the house of God, because we will all stand before Him at the inspection gate. Wow. Think about it. Now look at it in the sense of the entire city. Sheep gate. Understanding the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, that's almost always the introduction to the things of God, is understanding the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's at the feet of Calvary. Not only His sacrifice, but our sacrifice. Our killing of the old man. Our repentance. Doing those things that the Scripture says we do in accordance with the gospel and the Word of God. We evangelize. That's the fish gate. We're fishers of men. I believe anybody, once they come to the understanding of the sacrifice in Jesus Christ, once they repent of their sins and endeavor to walk in new life, we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait all the way down here to the fountain gate before they can start evangelizing. I'm sorry. Immediately, there's reaching out. Immediately, there's, hey, God's done something in my life. I don't know it all yet. I can't explain it all yet, but God's done something in me. Let me share with you what I experienced. There's evangelism at the sheep gate, or at the fish gate. Old gate. Recognize there's things that people do, those old things that seem archaic to the rest of the world, those things that are not modern, those things that are to the rest of the world maybe boring or not necessary, those principles and precepts, those fundamental things that the world is leaving and resisting, not desiring in their lives. I want those things in my life. Those things matter to me. What matters to God matters to me. If God disapproved of it before, He disapproves of it now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The broad wall, building the wall, we talked about its construction, talked about that it was built on the foundation of homes. It's in our homes where we build defenses. It's in our homes where we teach our children. It's in our homes. I know we can never ever expect the church to be able to found in the life of individuals what they are not willing to start constructing at home. Can't. The only time I pray is when I'm in the house of God, I'm doing myself a disservice. The only time I crack that book is when Pastor says, turn to this passage, I'm doing myself a disservice. I'm not building a broad wall. It shows I don't really care whether my defenses are strong or not. Then there's the valley gate. We all experience the valleys, troubled times. We understand the valleys. It's the valleys that reveal those areas of our life that are wasteful, the refuge, the waste. After the experience at the valley gate, there's the dung gate, where the trash is taken out. We come to that place in our lives where we get rid of stuff that doesn't need to be there. The fountain gate, the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives, powering us to go forth. And then we go to the water gate where we serve, the horse gate where we war, the yeast gate in expectation of his coming, and the muster gate or the inspection gate where we appear. Not only eternal judgment, but judgment at the house of God where we allow God to inspect us. And you know what? Throughout our walk in relationship with God, we make this trip continually. We walk around the walls. We experience the gates. Why? Because it's a part of our walk in relationship with God. It's identifying His kingdom. Because I want to love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want Him to be my God, my Lord, my Savior, my everything. And so I endeavor. I follow these things. I sacrifice. I evangelize. I do those things that are considered old and archaic because I know they matter. I build walls of defenses in my life because it keeps out the enemy. I experience valleys, yes. Some say, well, man, I spent a lot of time in that gate, Pastor. And then there's a lot of stuff that's got to be disposed of. There's the joy. There's that rejuvenation in the fountain of the Holy Ghost by which we serve the water gate. We war at the horse gate. We look with expectation of His coming because we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. So this study we ventured out in, it was called The Need for Nehemiahs. Numerous times throughout the study, we've talked about how that we need Nehemiahs in the sense that we need men and women who understand the significance. Significance of walls and gates. Areas in our lives, not only defining who we are, but they're also cluing us in to experiences and encounters that we have with God and this walk and relationship that we have with Him. Because I don't know about you. It comes that point in time when I stand before Him. I long to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When I stand before Him, I don't care how many times I got to make the rounds. Catch it. I don't care how many times I got to visit the valley gate. I don't care how many times I got to visit the refuse gate, the dung gate, and get rid of all the way. I don't care how many times I got to do it. I'll enjoy the times at the fountain gate where it's overflowing and I'm full, but there's also going to be the valley gates, and there's a reason why I'm experiencing that fountain gate, and there's water because there's service that needs to go on. There's ministry that needs to happen, and there's also going to be some warring in the spirit that takes place, and I'm just going to keep making those rounds. I'm looking. I'm waiting for Him to enter the east gate, that expectation of the coming of the Lord, because I know when that happens, I'm going to stand before Him. And final inspection will be made. And I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. But you say, I just don't want it for me. I want it for my family and my friends, acquaintances. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all should understand the significance in the city of Jerusalem, the walls and the gates. Lord Jesus, we love You. God, I'm thankful for Your word, which is so rich, understanding and revelation, God, which leads us and guides us, give us direction in our lives. Lord, let us understand Lord, that we in our walking relationship with you will make numerous trips around the city, if you will. We will experience many things at each one of these gates, God. Let us understand their significance, not only, God, in here and present, Lord, in the natural, but their significance, God, in the spiritual, the supernatural, and the eternal, God. Lord, I love you, God. I thank you for your word, which helps us, which leads us and guides us, gives us direction. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do, in your name that is above every name, Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. We'll tell you Sunday night, some weeks ago we had to postpone, put off having Brother Anthony Cox come and speak for us. He and his family are going to be here on Sunday night preaching for us, so we're looking forward to that. We were just able to work that out this week. They wanted to do it when our kids had the Monday off, which is Columbus Day, and our kids do, his kids do as well, so that way they can stay a little later in fellowship. And so we're going to have them here Sunday night. So come, bring somebody, but come to Sunday morning first. All right? God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.